Dr. Gene Moore of WRTI Temple Public Radio conducts the interview today. Her topic, the black female body.
I'm honored to have two guests, authors of a very recent book, The Black Female Body, A Photographic History. I welcome to University Forum Ms. Deborah Willis, Professor of Photography and Imaging at the Tisch School of Arts, New York University. Welcome, Professor Willis. It's good to have you here, back at your one of your undergraduate alma maters.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Ms. Carla Williams, writer and photographer in Santa Fe, New Mexico, currently teaching photography at the College of Santa Fe. Welcome, Ms. Williams.
Thank you.
This 228-page, 9 by 12-inch size, beautifully printed book contains some 200 pictures of black females, primarily nude or semi-nude, the black female nude body, taken when? During the 19th and 20th centuries. But this is not strictly a book of pictures, is it? It's a book you have to read and digest, the extensive sociological analysis of almost each illustration and overall of the whole life of the black female as exemplified through the projection of their bodies at various moments in time. I want you to know I read your book.
Oh.
It's a heavy book, but I read it.
Thank you.
And I just want to ask you, now tell us a little bit about what it is that you were hoping to do with this and why you went about this project.
Carl and I met about 10, 11 years ago. We were working on a project, a very similar project, and we decided to collaborate over the years because of our interests. And mainly we wanted to have a discussion about, a reflective discussion about the black female body. We wanted to look at the historical images, and then we wanted to, give it a range of discussions about these images, which started from the beginning of photography to the present, but also to look at how images of black women are preserved in public and private collections. What we found were there were so many images of black women in public collections mm-hmm. that were nude, and so we wanted to have a discussion about that and ask questions about this public image of black women.
Now, Ms. Williams, you're both photographers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you yourself take pictures of women, nude women? I know that these pictures are not ones, most of them are not ones taken by you, but...
That's correct. Actually, primarily, yes, I did. I make self-portraits, and a large percentage of my images were nudes, and so I wanted a history. I wanted a reference point that for someone that looked like me, and I think that was a lot of the impetus behind gathering the images together and deciding to do the book, was just to establish a history for the work that I was doing and the work that a lot of other photographers were doing, was just to know what the image of black women had been in the history of photography. And we would occasionally see pictures here and there in different books, in different general histories, and there was never any discussion. They were always presented in a kind of aesthetic context or in the context of an artist's larger body of work, and yet they always seem to differ from their larger body of work and from the other images that existed in the history. And so it occurred to us as we kept looking and finding images that there was a story developing that related very directly to our present-day bodies, and certainly for me, my present-day work. And so that was kind of part of the impetus for doing the book and getting these images together, was to just understand the kinds of images we were mm-hmm. making ourselves mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested, though. The book doesn't really have pictures that have been done by either one of you in any large numbers. I think I saw two.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
two. One of each.
Yeah, and I was going to ask who did the analysis and who took the picture of the other, the one that you have in there on bodybuilding, mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Who took that picture? Did you take that picture?
Yes, I made the photograph. We had a long discussion about this in terms of should we put our own photographs in the context of this discussion. And it was a struggle because we wanted to celebrate our own writings, but we also wanted to celebrate our own images in terms of having a discussion. And so the bodybuilder image is mainly because I was interested in looking at the range of looking at the experience of bodybuilders, how they celebrate their bodies in terms of the shape, sculpting, and things like that. And so, but also people misunderstand their focus. And women who are bodybuilders are, considered, oh, this is masculine, this is not something that's feminine. And that what I wanted to show is how these women are very feminine in terms of their style, that they see themselves as women and not as men, and that their bodies are about their strength and their beauty And so I wanted to photograph that.
As we go back to the photographs that were done early on, I'm interested in your first comment, Ms. Williams. Did you find yourself in those very early photographs that you have in that book?
Absolutely.
Not completely, though. I didn't see anybody look like you in those first two pages.
No one who looked like me. I saw in a lot of the poses and just in a lot of the situations just the experience of being photographed. And because I had photographed myself so extensively, specifically to explore that relationship and sort of the breakdown of that the relationship between the photographer and the subject, I saw myself and I saw the contemporary photographers, I saw just that process of photography very clearly in those images and the way in which subjects relate to the camera and relate to the photographer and relate to the situation that they're put in.
Now, in your analyses, though, of the 19th century era, most of the photographers were what, white males?
Yes.
Am I correct
on
that? Yeah. And it sounded as though, it didn't sound, because I did read that part very clearly, that the models had very little control and very little interaction, if not even very little approval and an agreement to have the pictures taken. What was that like to see some of those pictures in that early part?
Very painful, actually, to consider that whole exchange. And, we're so savvy about images today and our own images and the way we read them and the way that we read ourselves. But in the 19th century, the subject's relationships with photography were not that at all. And I think probably very few of those women had a relationship with photographs outside of that particular moment, whether it was just for one photograph or series of photographs that they posed. And so you look at the images, and there's so little information about the subjects themselves, you're left with many more questions than answers. But the overriding feeling, I think, at least that I get from looking at them, is just sadness because you see powerlessness.
Yes,
and
subservience.
It's just imagining early photography, and it's this strange contraption, this huge box that smells bad, and there's a photographer who's probably not speaking your language, doing all of these kind of special machinations and sort of chemical things around you. The whole process must have been so alien to anyone that you can't help but just feeling an empathy and really a sadness just that they really couldn't participate in a full way in that.
Well, one of the things about this book, when I first picked it up, I looked at it and I just flipped through the pages and I said, "What's this?" And then I looked at the text and realized that you had gone a step further by analyzing and calling attention to those minutiae that one might overlook as to why this might have been something agreed to or not agreed to by the model. You talk about the debasing, really, of women and the removal of parts of the garments. What about that and the difference between what's naked and what's nude and what's nude and what's undressed? Can you talk a little bit about that?
What we were thinking about and just kind of separating and defining words like nude and naked and undressed and unclothed mainly is using art historical terms as well as the scientific terms. The aspect of the nude model as one that is desired, the ideal body, but then in terms of the naked body is in terms of some of the women were just exposed in a sense where their personalities were opened up in terms of the World's Fair images and things like that, these women were not necessarily nude, that they were naked and exposed.
And that's the Chicago Fair, was it not?
It was the Back. Universal in Paris,
Paris
Exposition.
One.
Right, there were some in Chicago, but most of the World's Fairs that we talk about here are in Paris. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. But then the 19th century images of J.T. Zealy, where he's photographing two young women who were enslaved in South Carolina, where he strips them and opens their blouse and has their breasts exposed in that manner. And so unclothing them in that manner where their breasts are exposed. And so we begin to see them as body parts and not the whole and not sensual images at all.
Is there control now in terms of where the models can say how they want to be posed, or is there a certain amount of that still continues?
It's still the same. I really believe it's still the same, but I think that there are some women who are performers who enjoy the fact that they can present themselves in the way they want to, like an artist like Little Kim, or you know, some of the singers today, or just like Josephine Baker, who also celebrated her sexuality in the same manner that we see young artists today, which is a complicity in working with the photographer or the artist that they're presenting.
Do you see much difference between those interactions or pictures of those done by women photographers as against those that were done by men? Of course, in the earlier part of time, there was there much in the way of women photography back in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. But the difference between genders and the difference between race as far as the photographer is concerned.
Well, I think because the bulk of the women photographers are contemporary photographers, I think it's very different, the approach, because in many instances they are picturing themselves or close friends or, you know, people who they know and are interacting with, because they are projecting, even with another model, they are projecting an image of themselves in many instances. And I think that's very different from the earlier images made by men who are subjecting the women to their gaze and to their control. And even, you know, even in the situations where the women were not enslaved and they were free and they, you know, may have been paid for the sitting, you can see in the various poses the way in which the photographer has carefully controlled the sitting. Mm-hmm. And one of the common poses that you see repeated is an upraised arm, and that's generally only used in order to emphasize the line of the breast. And so you don't see that in women's work. You see a much more sympathetic approach to other women, and specifically with African American photographers or Black photographers photographing Black women, you see a much more personal and kind of self-reflective representation of their subjects.
Yeah, in fact, you state in the introduction the interplay between the historical and the contemporary, between self-presentation and imposed representations, is fundamental to discussion of Black female photographers. It sounds as if that's what you're talking about right
absolutely.
Now. Yes, absolutely. That's so. There's a chronology that you've put forth here related to when the pictures were taken and the way the photographers envisioned the role or the status or the non-status mm-hmm. of Black women in your various segments of the book. Could you take us through a little bit of those segments, like the colonial conquest? And this is how, I know you have really five distinct areas and then within them a number of subsets, but the colonial conquest, the cultural body, the body beautiful, and then you end, really, it's with four, with the reclaiming bodies and images. And talk a little bit about the pictures in the colonial conquest, for example.
The colonial conquest, we focused on the images that were part of the aspect of colonization of many of the Caribbean countries and Africa. So we looked at it in that manner, where European photographers traveled to Africa as tourists, made images of many of the Black women there, starting in the 1800s, mm-hmm. where they photographed them and they used the images as tourist guides to Africa or to the Caribbean. And so that's where we talk about this colonial conquest, where we also, these photographs as well as these, some of the women were put on display in some of the world fairs. So that's part of that aspect of colonial view of other, and how many of the subjects who were anthropologists or sometimes armchair anthropologists, kind of family men who just wanted to study the body, but would also see these people as other. And so that's part of that colonial view.
That whole anthropological classification sort of emerges over not only the colonial, but as you go forward on it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, see, if you hadn't had a sociological analysis throughout this book, as nice as the pictures are, a lot would have been missed as far as understanding what this was all about.
We had, initially, we talked about this because we were accused of putting these women also back out there and without, you know, we're putting the photographs out there. Aren't you doing the same thing as that some of the photographers have done to these women? And we both fought that thinking because we wanted to write about these images. No one else talked about these images. No one else put them in the context of how Carla described, is the sadness, mm-hmm. the loneliness, and the isolation of the women. Mm-hmm. And so when we began to think about these images, especially in this aspect of the cultural body, you know, what story is told about body the women who are laborers, you know, in terms of how to tell their stories, working in the cotton fields, working as domestics, you know, and things like that.
And so the Gordon Parks picture, sort of a classic one, too,
exactly.
The charwoman. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
and you've encompassed all of those various dimensions and more in terms of what you've done with this book. The cultural body is certainly a part that I think you've mentioned, and then as you go further, the affirmation of black women as complex human beings is how you place that. Had you not had that script, I think you were right, that there would have been a problem in just putting this out for people to flip through and just look at an individual picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes a lot of difference. Yeah. There's a segment in there about the pregnant black body focus on fertility, challenging the notion about the stretch marks. Now, I don't know about that stretch mark challenge. Talk a little bit about that. I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, you know, that's just, Carl mentioned just in terms of looking at how women photographing themselves and photographing their own bodies, and to see a woman who is celebrating her stretch mark in a manner of celebrating the shape of her body, the changes that the body goes through during pregnancy is a way of, it's not a denial anymore. Before, there was a sense of shame or an ugliness about having stretch marks or having this accentuated body in that manner. And so for this, the photographer, Angele Asambe, who focuses on the stretch marks and then uses fabric in terms of animal fabric to kind of explore
that's kind a beautiful
of
picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a wonderful way of looking at design. She sees herself as an artist. She sees the stretch marks as art. She sees her body as an art form.
There are things in there about the dance with the body. Beautiful. You're talking about the grinding process.
Mm-hmm.
You must remember the dances,
right.
Like grinding or dancing on a dime. And how this then, you have the pictures that evoke sort of a sense of the beauty of all of that. The notion now of the differences between the photographs of black women today contrasted with the past. In the past, there was not much involvement of the women in wanting to be in the pictures. Did they ever see those pictures is a question I always wonder when I look at those earlier ones. For instance, the ones that show the women who have just had their tops drawn down and that they're there. It's as if they, you know, in the face, you look at the face and you don't feel, I don't want to be here, mm-hmm. And they probably don't even see the picture.
Yeah, we haven't found records of that, except for with African photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the African photographers who photographed within their communities, who photographed the women and they were fully dressed, like Seydou Keita, but they say how much they like, I like me in that, I like the
yeah.
way I look like
yeah.
in that picture, I like the way I'm dressed, I like the way you pose me. And so I think that when there are community photographers, there's an exchange. But also when we look at people who talk about their photographic image is Sojourner Truth as well as Zora Neale Hurston. There are also women who talk about the photographic image in a positive way where they can use the image. And so we haven't found the anonymous voices.
Pick up, though, on this notion of the photographic image and the negative, meaning literally the photographic negative in developing the film. There are a lot of comments you made on that in the beginning about how the reverse of that negative.
Sure. We actually, in the introduction, we use a quote from Sir John Herschel, who is the person who actually coined the term photography and was one of the early experimenters in photography, and he developed a lot of the photographic techniques and chemical elements that make up the development process. And when he created his first negative, or one of his first negatives, he wrote to a friend that fair women appear as negresses, because in the negative, obviously, anything that's would be white in a positive image is going to be black in the picture, so white skin would appear black. And it was a really interesting starting point to think that here one of the pioneers of photography was thinking in terms of black and white when he looked at a portrait, that the blackness meant something different from whiteness, and that he had a consciousness of a black female when he was looking at his photographic work. And that's an interesting process because you know, the assumption is always to equate something negative with blackness mm-hmm. or darkness. And what we were trying to do was sort of use his quote as a starting point and turn that around and say, well, these are the so-called images of darkness. You know, why did everybody make them then? Because virtually everybody did, as it turned out. And so, you know, part of it, in a very general way, we were kind of addressing that quote and addressing that whole assumption that somehow blackness was the opposite of white, or was the opposite of the positive.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating concept as you look at it and you think about the negatives, and mm-hmm. especially the older negatives mm-hmm. now. I mean, now with all the different kinds of changes in photography,
right. Hardly see negatives anymore.
Don't even see the negatives on there. Back in the earlier days, when the negative experience of black women's bodies were so much in evidence, I think you talk about sort of a new paradigm, the role of the black woman photographer, and bringing in a whole new approach or concept on it. Recall that that's part of the notion, I don't know if it was directly from your own research or from whatever, where this would bring in a whole different approach to dealing with photographs, with the black woman photographer. Does that come out of your sense of identity of a woman photographer with the subject or with the black woman?
Absolutely, and I think it comes out of some of those earlier images that Deb just mentioned, the pictures of Sojourner Truth and the Zora Neale Hurston portrait, which was by a white photographer, but in the really around the Sojourner Truth was the 19th century, but really around the 1930s, you really began to see black women controlling their likenesses and really participating and going to photographers and commissioning portraits to be made and really trying to visually define themselves and in part in response to what the dominant culture was producing in terms of stereotypes and a lot of negative images that infiltrated advertising and cartoons and all kinds of more popular media. You really start to see the black subject, and so I like to think of them as really collaborating with the photographer in those instances where they weren't actually the photographers, but they really, they had an idea of how they wanted to be represented, and so they put that forth, and they went to the studio to commission pictures and made that known. And like Sojourner Truth, whenever she would go on different city stops, she would commission a photograph by a local photographer, and then she would sell it to support her cause. And so, hence that famous statement, "I sell the shadow to support the substance." She knew very early on the power of her image. And in the late 19th century, photographic images were really widely collected. People had them in their parlors, and it was a popular thing. And she knew that her likeness was a tool to a further goal. And so she was able to sell her image wherever she went.
And the images you have of her are fully clothed, of course.
Absolutely.
And beautifully coiffed in terms of how she is presented.
Absolutely. And in many of them, she's holding tools of her life. She's holding knitting needles and books and different things that represented her. And so she was really one of the first African-American women to really use photography as if she were the photographer, entirely to her own ends.
To have some control over it in that sense, yeah. Tell me a bit about how you got together as far as the writing, Professor Willis. It's hard enough to have one person doing the research and writing, but two of you, did you collaborate both on the pictures and on the writing? How did that go? Who wrote the text, or how did that work out?
We collaborated on everything. Carla, her undergraduate, her master's thesis, rather, focused on 19th century women, photographs of 19th century women in Paris?
In France,
right. And so a lot of the research Carla focused on is in this book in terms of that early part. My interest was mainly focused on black photographers as well as images of women through that medium in the contemporary. So we, exchanged our research. We sent letters back and forth to each other, and looking at it. Carla is, a wonderful writer, and so we just really began to, she could, put the words together that we both had, in terms of two sides. Okay, this means right.
How'd you find all those pictures? I know you give me resources, but how'd you actually get them and get hold of them?
Well, one of the great resources is the Bloxon Center here. Charles Bloxon, we used his photographs here. There were more that we wanted to use.
Dozens and dozens of
places. We wanted to, but we traveled around the country. Carla worked at the Getty Museum. I worked at the Schomburg. We also went to Europe and visited the libraries, the museums there. And then we started writing to historical societies and university collections, libraries around the country. And then Carla also knew some people in California who were private collectors, as well as we knew private collectors in this site, on the East Coast. So we just started writing people, and people were very, very interested in supporting this project because they were interested in the story. They collect, some of the collectors collected the images but didn't know how to talk about them, didn't know what to say. So this was a way for them to be educated with their collection.
Well, I know that you call the book a photographic history, and that's true. But somewhere in the subset, my mind says a sociological analysis. That you hear, I keep saying that. that's the background. But it does come through that way as a very comprehensive work. What do you see as the photography of black women? Where do you see it going in the future? Do you feel that there's going to be any major changes on the horizon, or is it a complete work now? It's two centuries that you've covered?
Well, I think that There's going to be more. We're hoping that this is just an introduction. We're hoping that people will find more photographs, more women photographers to research, and more images in terms of an extensive image collection to write about. So this is what we're hoping. And with contemporary women photographers, they're continuing to look back at the body, look back at their own experiences as women, and documenting it.
Do you see this staying towards the clothed or the unclothed woman?
I think both. I think both. I mean, our culture continually unclothes women.
Right.
And so I think that, it goes in circles where nudity is really common and you find it everywhere. And then maybe 2 decades later, it's nowhere. You don't see it at all in artists' work.
And I just want to thank you so much for bringing this history. Thank you so much for being my guest. This is Jean Moore leaving you with this thought. A picture is worth 1,000 words who are photographers and writers. This book, The Black Female Body, A Photographic History, views their skilled analysis tend to point out those subtle details and tell the real intent of many a picture.
Our topic today has been The Black Female Body. It's always a pleasure to have my colleague, Dr. Jean Moore of Temple University Public Radio, bring our listeners such an informative topic.
If you ever find yourself away from your favorite radio station, you can find this episode of Like It Is and many more on your favorite podcast app. I want to thank listeners who have kept Like It Is on air for 30 years. I'm here for you, and I want to hear from you. Send me a message on www.greenthumbfoundationinc.com. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.